Welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Women of Web 3, hosted by Honey Radio. Let's take a listen.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to Honey Radio. While we get the space set up and started, do me a favor and go ahead and tweet out the space, get it shared out. Let's get our room filled. And I'm going to get some music started here while we get our room situated. Welcome to Honey Radio.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. I'm taking. Sometimes I knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most. And just gotta keep going.
Oh, I love that so much. You know, I chose this song for a reason today. As every week, I look for a song that will be energetic, purposeful, and kind of relate to not only women in Web3, which is why we are here today, but kind of the maybe the today about that uphill battle in Web3 and that climb that we are on. And so I'm excited for our guests today, our speakers. I am Midas Mel, my typical co-host. BTTB is away this week. And so it's going to be just me here today, but I'm so excited for our guests and for our listeners that are tuning in. We're going to have an amazing conversation with women in Web3. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Again, if you'll take a moment and go ahead and tweet out the space, let everybody know that we're here today and to join in on, you know, maybe conversation around the climb today. What I'd like to do is start out by introducing, having our guests introduce themselves. So I'm going to call on you one at a time. And please just share with everybody that is tuning in now and or will be listening into the recording, let us know who you are and what you do in the world of Web3 and beyond. Sandy Toes, so happy to see you here today. Thank you for joining us on Honey Radio. Go ahead and unmute. Tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Wow, thank you so much, Honey Radio. Women of Web3, how are you? I am Sandy Toes. My mother tongue is not English. It is Farsi. I was born in Iran. Literacy is the most important thing to me. And let me tell you, it is kind of a miracle for me to be here with Miriam and Honey and all you other ladies. So yeah, there are women in Web3. What am I doing? I like to call myself a historiographer mostly. That kind of encompasses the overall of what's happening. And what does that mean? It means like I try to document everything that's happening with that pertains to us women and the story of Web3, whether it is artists or whether it's crypto. I just got back from Colombia. And by the way, these spaces are recorded. Terra Spaces, one of my good friends, he records these spaces. And that is part of the legacy that we need to leave behind is recording these spaces. I helped start on the Tezos blockchain a women's museum and a community over a year ago because it was hard for women to speak in spaces. And so much has changed since then. So what I do is mostly the most important thing I believe that I do is I help women or men around the world be onboarding into Web3, whether they're a poet or a photographer, or they want to make games or something. I try to help them figure out, you know, just basic, like, where do I start? You know, and so I try to talk to them. And guess what? I'm at the point now where I have a collection of over 1,200 fantastical animals on the OmniFlix network. And I did this with my collab partner, Lucid. I've never met him. He lives in Canada. So Patrick, who goes by the name Lucid Dreamer, approached me because he thought I was cool. He's like, hey, let's do a collab together. He took my black and white photography and even my colored ones, and he would render them using AI art. And then eventually he convinced me I should learn this technology. It wasn't hard to convince me. I learned it. And then we went from him taking my pictures, showing me, and it was like warp speed, Star Trek kind of thing. We made collections. We had sold out collection on Tezos. So a lot is happening. I am going to NFT shows, to blockchain conferences. I'm helping people become literate about what is going on. I don't charge anybody anything. And the most important thing that I tell people is, you know, I forget, you know, this is the important thing. Don't take your money and stick it into this thing. If you have talent, you can pull money out of this thing. So if you can make NFTs or if you can make art or music and you figure out how to get wallets and go on different platforms and become part of communities, there are ways to have financial freedom and put food on the table. People who make dollars or yen may not understand this, but in countries where their money has no value, if you live in countries where you can't work, Venezuela, Cuba, or, you know, soon like Iran, women can't go do these things. This blockchain technology is making it possible. So my focus is the bigger focus of technology, Web3. And what are we doing? And how can we make these systems more secure? Because we all know there's scammers and hackers, and nobody's questioning that. We're just trying to figure out how to secure systems that are transparent and have democracy, right? So that's, in a nutshell, what I'm trying to do, people. Thank you so much.
Oh, so beautiful, Sandy Toes. Thank you so much. I love having you on our program and so grateful to have you back. And as a fellow photographer myself, I'm excited to, I just recently got into the AI art world and it's mind blowing, but I'll tell you that there's definitely some controversy around that in the industry because of the many of my photographer friends feel it's not true art. And I'm kind of like, I'm on the side of, well, why would you say that in the sense of, you know, there many photographers, especially back in the black and white film days, when you even mentioned black and white, that's where I started, was black and white film. And it's like, well, how is it any different using AI than using Photoshop and using, you know, the filters and the things that are part of that? And at the end of the day, a lot of the AI programs, it's like you're typing in the words. It was your idea to use those words, those phrases together, and then elaborate on those. So I still look at it as art. And I do believe it's our responsibility to remind people that it was created through an inspiration and collaboration, if you will. So definitely love that. And if you have any photography channels that I should tune into, please PM them, DM them to me. I just showed my age there. But thank you so much. I love your energy and your spirit. I know. Mariam, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to get to know you and to go ahead and unmute. Tell everybody who you are and what you do. Welcome to Honey Radio.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for having me on Honey Radio. I'm excited to be here. I'm Mariam, and I'm the founder of Breshna.io. And the best way to think about Breshna is the TikTok for video games. So basically, our big mission is to empower the next 100 million people to tell their stories through video games. So what Canva did for design, what WordPress did for websites, you know, what Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces did for audio, we want to do for video games. And I come at this, interestingly, from 15 years in the education space, working at the World Bank across 22 different countries. And as someone who grew up playing SimCity, where I was learning about urban planning without even knowing I was learning about urban planning, I knew the power of video games. I knew the power of video games that they can have for purposeful communication. But throughout my work in international development, it was heartbreaking that anything we wanted to do for awareness or education, it was always so boring. It was soul-crushingly boring. It's like, here's a brochure, here's a website. And I think there's this unfortunate narrative that just because you're operating in third world countries, somehow entertainment is not important. And coming from Pakistan, so hey, Iran, I mean, across the border, coming from Pakistan, I thought that, you know, if anything, entertainment is even more important, right? And everything. And I think, so 8 years ago, I started my own gaming studio to create mobile games for positive behavior change. We made games on menstrual health and reproductive health and climate action and financial literacy and animal welfare and all of these other games. But at the end of the day, what I realized was, one, we were a service-based studio. There were only so many games we could create manually. These games did come with a cost, even though we brought the cost down from like $500,000 to $20,000 in some cases, but it was still a cost. And that it took time. And as someone who's an avid user of Canva, I was like, where is the Canva for video games? All of these people that are coming to me, they're not asking for the World of Warcraft. They're asking for simple video games. Why can I not let them make their own games? And that was the birth of Breshna in March of 2021. We created Breshna so that everyone can make video games at lightning speed. The word itself actually means lightning in the Pashto language, which is my mother tongue. So video games at lightning speed. We've been building for a year and a half. We have more than 2,000 people on the platform that have made more than 7,000 video games. We've raised $2.4 million in seed funding from investors such as Paris Hilton, who's on the cap table. And we're now not only empowering our users to create and share their games, but also own them and monetize them through Web3 by having a virtual carnival, which is the Breshnaverse. So I don't want to take a ton of time because I want to listen to all the other awesome ladies and the work they're doing. But our big idea is, empowering everyone to be able to tell their stories through video games so that they can not only create and share their games, but also own and monetize them. Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness gracious, girlfriend. I'm like so intrigued by this. And, you know, when you mentioned where is the Canva for video games, like how beautiful that is, you know, having this template based is what I'm kind of envisioning. And I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and post any links or information or post shared post up above in our Jumbotron so that we have that for easy reference. I love everything about what you're doing. I love your energy. I love your spirit. I love your brain. And what an incredible idea that you were creating here. And, I didn't do much with SimCity, but my children did. I turned 50 this last, over the summer. So I'm very familiar with what you're referring to. And I think that this is just unbelievable that we would be able to make video games at lightning speed and not necessarily need that programming education. And so I'm really excited to hear more about that and how we can share our stories through video gaming, because, you know, storytelling is the ultimate way to educate. And then if we could do that visually, you know, myself and Sandy Toes being photographers, and then you add in the gaming aspect, boom! That's a win-win. So thank you so much for being here, Miriam. This is just beautiful. All right. Next up, we have, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Adria or Adria.
It is Adria.
Please go ahead. Hi, Adria.
Hi.
Welcome to Honey Radio.
Well, I am so excited to be here. I am also suddenly super bummed that I'm last because I am not doing things maybe quite as cool as the other two. I am an artist manager, so I'm not a builder, I'm not a developer, but I am a facilitator. And so what I do every day is work with artists to elevate their careers as a whole. And recently, I have had the pleasure and privilege to jump in Web3 with one of my artists to kind of lay the foundation to take it to the rest of our roster and hopefully to the rest of the industry. And to really do some really cool things that have the potential to change the music industry as a whole, and not just independent artist careers, which it does. Web3 has enormous potential to give independent artists power over their careers that they don't currently have, because they don't make a whole lot of money off of streaming. And nobody buys CDs anymore. I don't know if anyone on here has bought a CD in the past couple of years, but we get them shipped to our office regularly, and we call them coasters. So, you know, if you you buy a CD, we appreciate you because the artist makes more money. But this is a new alternative to that. And what it also allows us to do is super serve the fan base. Because at a certain point in the history and the chronology of the music industry, the fan artist piece switched off. And we stopped doing fan club things, and we stopped doing fan engagement the way that we used to. And I'm really lucky, and actually Liv Charette is in the room. She is one of my artists, and she is the one that we're launching the NFT project with here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, we are really lucky that now we get to go back to this, for lack of a better term, bygone era. You know, I remember being 12, 13, 14, 15, and buying fan club memberships for artists that I loved, you know, at all stages of their career, young, older, you know, whatever, wherever in their career they were. And being able to interface with that artist, whether it was through a newsletter or, you know, through a meet and greet at a show. And this is allowing us through technology to bring that back. Because now, not only do we have a piece where we can connect with fans and know who they are based on their wallet, essentially, they can be undocked, that's totally fine. But we can also do virtual meet and greets that are token gated and things like that. And so it allows us an entirely new platform to deliver both music and the fan experience. And I could not be more excited to be part of this and to kind of watch the industry change in a way that we haven't seen dramatic leaps forward that way in favor of artists in a really, really long time. And so I will actually get off of my soapbox now. I could literally sit here and talk about this for 2 hours about how this super serves artists and fans at the same time. But I am excited to be here and I'm excited to have this conversation today. And thank you guys for inviting me.
Oh, this is so amazing. So you mentioned, you know, there's a couple things I want to discuss with you. You know, how you mentioned you being a facilitator. I would call myself a facilitator and a connector as well. And it sounds like you would be that as well as the rest of the ladies here. What I want to do is there's another area that our DAO really connects with and I work closely with, and they're called, it's our GOATS, G-O-A-T-S. So I'm going to connect you with them because they are our greatest of all times. And we are restarting up, relaunching their Thursday night Twitter spaces. And so the last few weeks we've been having lots of collaboration and creative calls with up and coming artists, and there's a lot that they do. So I definitely want to connect you with them after this call and invite you to, tune in and listen in and get to know that community as well. That will be Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, I believe.
I would love that.
If the graphic was fully completed, I would get that shared right now. But it is so cool. We have another creative that's on this team, and he put that together, and it looks amazing. I got to see that today. So I love that you're doing this. Now I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are with, like, my older girls. So I have four children, they're all adults now, and a grandbaby. My girls are actually more interested, the older two, they go and they buy vinyl records now. Have you seen, you mentioned the CDs, have you seen or witnessed an influx of people wanting that physical vintage type product to go along with the artists that they're hearing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're seeing a lot more artists put out vinyl along with the streaming, the MP3s, things like that. And I think we're in a huge era of nostalgia, unlike we have been in a really, really long time. And I think the Web3 world has the potential to harness that. And, we can give you a digital collectible, and also there will be, a physical vinyl that goes with it, or, a sweatshirt, or, whatever that thing is that people want. But yeah, we're seeing a huge emergence of vinyl. Do I think that will happen with the CD? Probably not. They tried it with the cassette and it did not work as well. I think there's something about the sound of vinyl that makes people really happy and makes them nostalgic and makes them feel things that you don't get. I mean, the sound quality is roughly the same between an MP3, a streaming song, and a CD. So I think part of the appeal is the sound, but I think it's also the imagery. I think it's being able to, look at the album cover and hold it in your hand and be part of the lineage of that artist's career just by way of owning a piece.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say, was the art on that vinyl and having that physical to hold, to see, and the visualness that creates in a collection. And then having, when you have guests come over and they could kind of, look through your collection. My older two daughters and I, we went to Coachella this year, and a concert festival I never, ever, ever thought in my wildest dreams I would ever attend. But the opportunity arose and I was like, I definitely will go to that. And what was really interesting is they, and it hadn't been going on for the last 2 years. So it was kind of their first year back, I believe. And they actually created an NFT for the festival, which I thought was really cool. It was a bloom, like a flower bloom. And so when you got your ticket, then you would register for this NFT and access that. And then when you got to the event, you would see it bloom and then you would get in line. When you talk about the fan experience, you would get in line to find out what did you win, if anything, like a t-shirt, a hat, a collectible, a novelty item of some sort. And then, and so there's a Discord channel. So when you talk about, again, that fan experience for an entire festival, even, how cool that was, to see that, knowing that we are in this Web3 space and that they were really putting that out there to create exposure for artists, attendees, and the community as a whole for Web3. I'm curious also to know, you mentioned that growing up, you remember having fan club memberships. Was there a favorite, who was your favorite artist back then? Who is it that you would have invested your time and resources in engaging in a community and or in line? Who was that?
Well, when I was a freshman in high school, I was a huge, huge country fan. I mean, still am. That's part of the industry that I work in. Liv is a pop artist, but we largely work with a lot of country artists here. But I was a huge fan of both LeAnn Rimes and Brian White. And I was in both of their fan clubs, and they happened to go on tour together. And I got to meet both of them at the same show. What I will say is one of them was exceptionally lovely, and I am now friends with that person today. The other one, they say don't meet your heroes, and that kind of fell into that category, but you know, people grow and change, I guess. But what I do think also is so interesting, and something that you brought up with ticketing and whatnot, I had this conversation earlier with some members of my team here at the office. And so a lot of us are old enough to remember going to a show and having a paper ticket, right? And so you go in the show, they tear off the ticket, and you keep the stub, and you either put it on a bulletin board, or, you know, you put it in a some kind of a memento box or something, right? Well, now you go in and they scan your phone, and then what happens? Nothing. So wouldn't it be amazing if you walk in the door, they scan your ticket, and automatically it flips to an NFT. It flips to some sort of a digital collectible. And in my perspective, I see this happening. I see them doing something probably that looks like a ticket stub. And I see some company coming out, and feel free to take this idea because it's not going to be me, that is able to print those and make them look like authentic real tickets. That's what I think is probably going to happen. I think there's a lane in the industry for that. I am too busy to start a company that prints tickets, but anybody here is welcome to take that idea. But yeah, I mean, that's the nostalgia idea of remembering, you know, when I still have the ticket stuff from that same concert where I met both of them in Lafayette, Louisiana. Like, you know, I literally still have it in a box somewhere. I actually think it's at my mom's house. So if my mom's listening, sorry, I'll come get the rest of my stuff at some point. I moved out like 18 years ago and haven't gone back to get all of my things. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I see this space going for artists, you know, musical artists, and also, you know, visual artists too, is we are super serving our fans once again.
Oh, I love that you said that, super serving our fans. And I couldn't agree with you more, being a creative entrepreneur myself, in that this space is changing the opportunities for artists, musicians, the visual artists, and the, you know, the music artists. And so it's not just about the Wall Street people being able to have this crypto world. Like, we could see this as access, right? Global access, and how we can then create these communities for people that like, know, and trust the same things that you like. And now we can communicate through places like this, Twitter space, but also within, you know, Discord channels for those said communities. And like you said, have a digital and possibly a tangible item, and that NFT being the access to virtual events. And one of the things that we're planning right now is a virtual concert that will, these creators have recreated Red Rocks stage. And so we've got these artists that we're going to create a metaverse concert. And so it's going to be super cool. I don't know that that's been done yet. And, you know, it's so much about, you know, sky's the limit. So Miriam, I want to ask, you know, the song that I chose today, I mentioned that, you know, about the climb and that uphill battle. And that's why I kind of picked this one today. One of the quotes says, there's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. Always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm going to have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. So I would relate that to the journey versus the destination. What has your experience been in regards to maybe some mountains that you've had to move in developing and being in this game space?
Oh, that's a good one. And it definitely hits very, very close to heart and close to home. I mean, I come at this, if you think about it, I am a solo immigrant, female, non-tech, non-business background, East Coast founder, right? So it's like, I mean, literally all the things that you can point out that don't give you an edge, you know, in Web2, like I started Breshna in March of 2021 as a Web2 tech startup. And I actually, personally, I don't like this whole Web2, Web3, because I don't think it's a very porous border. It's simply leveraging blockchain technology, you know, I mean, for what you're building. So, you know, within Breshna, you know, there's Web2 elements, there's Web3 elements, but purely for the conversation's sake, like we started as a purely Web2 company. There was no on-chain component at that point. So, you know, we were doing the rounds with the fundraisers and everything. And I think one of the really interesting things is, you know, they say this so many times that female founders are over-mentored and underfunded. And I think that that's just so true because it's that Pitbull song, which is like, you ask for money, you get advice, you ask for advice, you get money twice. I think like the minute you go looking for, you know, I mean, funding, everyone's like, oh yeah, here's some advice, but I'm not going to be the one writing that first check. And I think raising money is like moving that mountain. And we started at a valuation of $3 million. And I had heard all of these things of, you know, oh, you got to wrap up your round in a week and you have to just raise your funds and just wrap it up and then go to building and then start building. And unfortunately, fortunately, every founder is different. Every journey is different. And my journey was so different. I fundraised over the span of 7 months. I kept fundraising and building and marketing because I did not have the luxury to do one at a time. And we started at a valuation of $3 million and we closed with a valuation of $40 million post money, right? So it's like, it was my journey. We just kept going. And today we've raised the money that we've raised. And I think everything from fundraising to innovating, you know, moving the mountain of like Web3 technology. I think everyone, I mean, people claim to be experts in Web3. And then you're like, how long have you been in the space? And they're like, 2 months. And you're like, cool. It's like everyone's learning. This is so, so new. And I think communities like these are where we're all learning. And it's such a collaborative space. And I just don't understand the idea of competing over a small slice of cake when the whole cake can get so much bigger with collaborations. And I absolutely think it's about the journey. You're going to keep moving mountains. My eventual goal is to ring the IPO bell at NASDAQ as one of the first brown women for a decacorn. I know my speech. I know what I'm going to wear. Like, I am so ready for that goal. But the journey is what makes it so, so beautiful. And so I love that question. And I think there's so many mountains that you have to move and it keeps going. And just a couple of things just to dial back. I did post like Breshna on the top of the chat. And I would love anyone who wants to see their NFTs in video games. We're allowing, Breshna is absolutely free uploads. So you can actually put your own NFTs in your own video game. So if you want to collaborate around that, you guys are artists, would love to see your art in games. And also the virtual concerts is something that's such an idea that's blowing up. Paris Hilton just did a concert in Roblox. She's doing one in Sandbox. It's like a lot of this stuff is happening. And I think the space is only starting to grow. And we're the early movers. And it's a good thing it's the bear market because the noise is gone, the hype is gone, and the real builders are now here to stay. And what's being built right now is just such high quality.
Oh my goodness. A couple things that you mentioned. One, like you said at the end here about the real builders are here because the noise is gone, the hype is gone. And one of the things I say frequently is, well, how bad do you want it? And so I couldn't agree with you more, but I got goosebumps when you mentioned that your goal is to be to ring the NASDAQ bell as the first brown woman. And not only goosebumps and like, I just want to cheer you on. I'm like also baffled and bewildered that hasn't happened. And so I appreciate being educated on that. I didn't know also my co-founder, co-host that's typically with me, BTTB, whom she's the one that reached out and coordinated all of our speakers today. But I didn't know that women were not in our constitution either. And, you know, it's amazing when the conversations start and it's through communities like this. And like you said, it's not that we need to be in any sort of competition because the piece of the pie is so small. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so much opportunity. And that's what we are here to do, is to collaborate, innovate, educate, and support and encourage and just love on and learn like ourselves. Like, I learned so much by our weekly Honey Radio spaces and then being able to connect and all the projects that everybody is involved in. It blows my mind like how little I actually knew or know. And at the end of the day, one of the things that we really strive for is not only consistency, but like show up, you know, on the days that you are so tired and just feel like, I don't want to get up out of bed, or I don't want to participate in this conversation, or I don't want to host this space. I don't want to innovate today. I don't want to educate today. I don't want to collaborate today. Like, it is incredible that when you just go, you know what? No, I'm called for this. I don't even know what this is, right? And I just did these air quotes, but I know there's something. And at the end of the day, I'm called to show up. Sandy Toes, what are your...
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
One quick correction, because I'm an economist by academic training, so data is very
important
to me. No brown woman has ever rang the IPO bell for a unicorn valuation.
So I think
women have done that before. And the first white woman to do that was Bumble's CEO, which was just a few years ago.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, we're late. We're very, very late to the game. But it's the valuations. I'm sure someone has IPO'd a company, but it's not been at 1 billion plus valuations.
Incredible. Thank you so much for clarifying that. I appreciate that. Sandy Toes, what are maybe some of the mountains or uphill battles that you have faced or currently facing in regards to, you know, developing your art and creating this community, and as busy as you are, as you mentioned, attending these conferences and I'm curious as to, you know, you mentioned that you don't charge people, and I think there's pros and cons about that. So I'd love for you to elaborate on your battles, your mountains, and then kind of talk us through maybe why you're not charging for the resources and the value that you provide. And I'm not saying good or bad. I just find that fascinating.
Well, thanks, Honey, I appreciate you giving me the mic. Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations for scoring that big money. You're on your way, my dear. You know, what you're doing is awesome. It makes me feel better. And Adria, what you said about the concerts and the tickets, stream pay, there's going to be many, many avenues. So for example, where I'm at, Omniflix at this conference announced stream pay. This conference, you could buy your ticket with fiat money, regular old money, or buy it with the crypto that they had, which was Atom. You know, the Kepler wallet has many different coins in there. So we are seeing a situation where, like, I'm not a code writer, right? Okay, and so the reason I don't charge for what I do is, well, first of all, I make my money in bigger ways. What do I mean by that? So when I attended this conference, I worked on a government-funded project. Okay, the government of Argentina wants to track hydrogen. So we developed an app. I'm not a code writer, but I worked with a team of very intelligent people, professors from Colombia, professors from Argentina, and developers from this. So the Cosmos ecosystem wants the blockchains to talk to each other. And the particular people that I worked with were from the Juno blockchain. And Juno blockchain is about smart contracts. So let me tell you this, even if you're not a code writer and you have ideas, you go talk to the code writers and these people because they know how to build the buildings. It's like they're the contractors. They will build you the building you want. You want your building to say this or to say that. So you sit down and you communicate your idea and you bring that into like picture form. It gets translated into code. It gets turned into an app. And then people go and promote this app or use this app. So we're at a place and point where there's a lot of ways to make money. And why do I not charge? Well, because right now, after going to this conference, I've got about 7 or 8 different offers of being an OG or a Genesis creator on a platform. I've got a Yakuza Geisha, a bad guy NFT collection coming out on a platform called Asset Mantle. Now, they're all about money. And you know what? There's a lot of money in crypto. There is so much money. There is all kinds of money. And they've got apps and they've got DAOs. So as far as like, these are the ways that have been open to us. And as far as what is blocking me, us, I'm just going to say one word that encompasses a lot of things. And I don't mean this in a negative way. I mean this in the oppressive way that it's kept women. Hijab. The hijab. And honey, I'm going to disagree with you and say that others see us as a competition. I speak Farsi. I listen to these spaces where these men absolutely are horrified that we have abilities and freedom. And they're literally trying to stop us. And because they feel like they're being discarded. I am not exaggerating this. These spaces exist. These places in the world that are dark. And you kind of get bits of that. You hear about the schools that got blown up. You hear about the kidnapped girls. And the families that are brave enough to want literacy for their children and their daughters, they are harassed. I personally get comments and letters and messages from women who are trying to be educated, who are trying to be taking their community forward, but their mothers are harassed. Their mothers are like, oh man, your daughters are not married. Oh, that's sad. There's something wrong with. So they go after you in ways you can't even imagine. They go after your family. They harass your parents, your uncles, your aunts. This type of holding you back exists. And this is what's difficult. One of the things I see, now this is in no offense meant towards Arabs or any Arab country, but in a lot of spaces, there are a lot of men who speak on behalf of their woman. And I would just like to hear the woman come and speak that they're free. You know, it's like they're saying, oh, no, our women are free. And they are laughing at you in the West that you are working. I cannot tell you how many men have said this to me. And, you know, if the princesses of some government have to be kidnapped back and brought back and imprisoned, what does that say about the rest of society? So this hijab, this competition, the war against women is raging, ladies. Now, we're here talking about NFTs and gaming. We're at the other end of it. We're not touched by that. It exists. And we are at a whole different level because we've been able to have fortunate parents or lives where we are. And one of the things that happened at this blockchain, I ended up in a community of women. I met women who had like started a blockchain, who had the funds. And so it is mind-boggling that, yes, despite all these things, women are doing incredible things. And now I'm in touch with women around the world in these big top companies who are doing what I'm doing, trying to make it better. So, honey, that's why I don't charge. It's because I got money coming in from other sources that are much greater. And by the way, when you help an artist figure out how to mint an NFT and they make thousands of tezos, they just kick down one of their NFTs to you that you can turn around and sell for like 800 or 900 tezos if you wanted to. Now, that's not what my plan was, but that's how it turned out. I have so many gifts. Go look at the transactions on my wallets. I haven't forced anybody to give me anything. So people gift me things if they find my services useful. I'm not saying don't charge for your services. You must charge for whatever services you're rendering. You have a living to make. But in this area of onboarding people around the world who have absolutely no idea how to step into Web3, For me, that is just like so delightful, is to help them get their wallet, to buy their first work, and to encourage them to go on. I have the time and patience to do that with certain few that I cross paths with, not the entire everybody. And please don't reach out to me. I can't read half my DMs, but it just does happen. So congratulations to you ladies. You know, this, and by the way, my family, they wear hijab. Okay. I come from a Muslim background of centuries in Iran. And these are women who were covered up even during the Shah's time, and they're leading productive lives. So it's not a word against hijab. It is just that they want to keep women from going to school and being educated. It's that part that is disturbing. My cousin, she wears the hijab. She lives in Canada. She's a surgeon. So it's not the actual hijab, but how it is used as a weapon against us that is disturbing. Thank you very much for letting me share that.
Oh, I love your heart so much. Like, and one of the reasons we create, well, I would say the main reason we created Honey Radio was, as I mentioned in the beginning, creating a space that was for women, about women, and by women, to make sure that women's voices were heard. And I love your passion, your heart, and your persistence in pursuing all of that. And sorry about that. Got a call in. Maximizing your opportunities and your exposure. And that is the true entrepreneurship heart, right? You know, going, I'm going to obviously, you know, put my energy and efforts into these areas because I'm passionate about that. But I'm passionate about serving, and I'm passionate about giving opportunities and collaborating with others. But I see an opportunity that by me being in these places, right time, right place, that it's going to open up these other opportunities for your financial ability to reap those rewards in that way. And like you said, and the gifts that maybe come back tenfold when we are a blessing to others and serve others. So thank you for elaborating on that. And so I have Bex that came up and joined us today as well for our fourth speaker. And Bex has been with us before. Bex, go ahead and unmute. Tell everybody who you are and what you do. Welcome to Honey Radio, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for the warm welcome, and I appreciate your patience on me being a little late to the party.
I think she's still connecting.
Oh, can you hear
me? I can
hear
her perfectly. You're great, Bex.
Okay. I just was saying thank you for inviting me and bringing me up, and I appreciate your patience on me being a little bit late to the party. Had some Web 2 stuff I had to work on. But yeah, my name is Rebecca Bond. I am the owner and co-founder of Kindness and Crypto. We are a Web 3 collective of women that bring their own talents and their own skill set to this space. We come together to consult for Web3 events, including we were part of the core production team for NFT NYC back in June. And then once our contracts ended there, we decided to just kind of join forces. And I had Kindness and Crypto on ice, and the two other ladies that I worked with, I was like, you two are badasses. And we wanted to take the positive out of our experience, and then also the things that we didn't quite align with out of the experience, and really bring good to the Web3 space from an event perspective. Because some of our values didn't 100% align with some things. So we decided to say, you know what, let's do better. And we're now consulting for Women in Web3 Summit in Miami. And then I do some other consulting on the site as well. And then Kindness and Crypto is really the whole genesis of it was just creating a place where people can come, and we haven't made a dime. I'm probably going to turn it into a nonprofit, to be quite honest with you, where we onboard artists and nonprofits, and also just elevate the voices of artists if needed. And so I've done a lot of Twitter spaces for Sloika launches for people just to elevate them, and especially women. And so it's a big deal. I wanted to make sure that there was a space where people knew that they could trust the people that were helping them. And also as a mother and in the gap generation where I have mid-70s elderly parents at home, not in my home, but down the street and then having a 16-year-old daughter, I realized that there is a huge opportunity for people to be a bad opportunity for people to be left behind, because my parents were like, so wait, what is it? And I realized then, holy shit, like we've got to make this, we've got to do better.
Oh, I apologize. I muted you back by accident. I didn't mean to do that. Go ahead and unmute and finish up that part. I have a question for you when you're ready.
No worries. You're good.
I'm sorry.
You're good. I just wanted to really create a culture of kindness in the space so that I knew that my parents could come in and as elderly people in the space and know that they were safe. I also wanted to make sure that my daughter had a space that she could lay claim to and be able to take ownership of. And Sandy, I just wanted to give you a huge shout out for bringing up the hijab and what's happening in Iran. I am second generation Lebanese American, and I am not Muslim, but I have a lot of brothers and sisters in Iran, Iranian brothers and sisters, and that are, and have some local ones here in Colorado that have immigrated here. And so, you know, the biggest thing that we can do as privileged people in the free world is elevate their voices. And so, I just wanted to thank you for bringing that up because it's on the forefront of my mind every single day. And I went to the Capitol building here in Denver on Sunday and cut my hair with the Iranian on the Capitol building steps and trying to post it everywhere and let women and the brothers of Iran that are fighting against this Islamic regime, not Muslim regime by any means, the Islamic government, and not against the hijab or Muslims by any means, but the dictatorship that is disgusting and killing innocent young girls and young boys and elderly people fighting just for their rights. So I definitely think that the largest feminist and female movement in the world is happening in Iran right now, and the U.S. is hardly covering it. So the more we can talk about it, the better. And that this is coming from the mouths of women in Iran. This is not my personal opinion. I've reached out and said, hey, would this be disrespectful if I cut my hair, even though I'm living in America? They said, no, please, like the more you support us, the more conversations that happen, the better. So I'll quit my TED talk on that. But that's what matters to me a lot right now, other than, of course, my immediate family and taking care of my kids. But that's on the forefront of my mind. And I would feel we're doing a disjustice by not talking about it. So that's my big spiel. And
Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing that. And I have an ask, and how is it when you mentioned you're creating a space or a culture of trust and kindness? Share with us how you do that, or maybe some of the challenges you're faced in creating that space, because that is not easy. Because I think so many of us have triggers or, you know, these past, you know, traumas that might create this barrier or wall up. What is it that you are able to do to create that space of trust and kindness?
That's a great question. I mean, for me, I do the same thing I do in Web 2, in IRL, right? Is just be transparent, be honest, have strong boundaries, and be vulnerable myself. And I don't mean oversharing. I mean just being an open book as with boundaries, of course, and letting people know that I'm to be trusted. And so that happens from a tactical perspective by having these types of conversations, by being doxxed, by having an open policy as far as like, if you have a question, ask me the question, and vetting people. I mean, all of us are adults and have our own responsibilities to do our own research. And so it's giving that sound advice first and foremost, as far as like, hey, listen to your gut on things, and also do your research. I mean, you can find anyone right now, and we need to be able to really guide people to know that it's like, okay, it's okay to not know what's happening when you're first entering the space, and really breaking down the walls of entitlement and class system within it that's already starting to form, where it's like, if you know this language, oh, I'm a maxi or I'm an OG and all that kind of crap, like that needs to go. That all that does is separate us. All that does is create more friction that creates a class system within this space that we don't need. That's what we're trying to avoid. Like, we're all new. Yeah. If you heard about Bitcoin in 2011, good for you. That's amazing. You know, but that doesn't make you any better than anyone else in the space that's entering right now. Just means you have a little bit more knowledge that, in my opinion, if you've been in the space for that long, I feel like it potentially should be your social responsibility to help share your journey. Right. And so, you know, I know this sounds like kind of like an ambiguous answer, but it's not straightforward. It takes time to build trust. You have to have a lot of conversations and practice what you preach and hold yourself accountable and be willing for people to hold you accountable too, and do it with a servant leadership type of approach is how I look at it.
Oh, I love that so much. You know, the transparency, you know, purposeful boundaries and being vulnerable. I couldn't agree with you more. And creating that space of trust and kindness. And like you said, it's no different than in Web 2, Web, or in real life as well. And that's not easy. Yeah, Sandy Toes, I see your hand up. Go for it.
Yeah, I just want to speak to that not easy part real quick. So going to this blockchain conference, everything's supposed to be decentralized, we're all the same, but there was like VIP. So, you know, there's events and then people line up and then the VIP got to go. And it was really kind of weird because I actually got to meet like the big shots that were supposed to be there, and they're all very approachable. And I got to talk to speak with all of them. And so having VIP when this is supposed to be, we're all the same. And so at the end of this conference, when I actually had gotten to know these people from the parties and speaking with them, you know, they asked me what I thought. I said, you know, everything about this blockchain conference was great, but this whole VIP business has got to go, because I guess people just really want to feel special and they want to be set apart from the rest. But sometimes we need to let go of ways that don't serve us. So, and I looked at, you know, I looked at those people in the VIP line who got to go ahead of me, who didn't have to wait for 2 hours. And I had gotten a chance to speak to every single one of them and knew every single one of them on a first name basis. So then I spoke to the people in charge privately and said, you know, whoever is the organizer, or, you know, you guys are the ones doing this. And so it's just not a good look. And that's all I said. So maybe next year it'll be different. So I don't know what the way is, but it sure ain't easy is all I'm trying to say. It ain't easy.
Right. It is that uphill battle. And yeah, we could talk about that that classification, certainly even on another program. I love that. I'm actually facilitating an event at the end of the month in Vegas, and there are VIPs that we have, you know, like separate things for them and a section for them. And so that's actually, this could be a really great conversation. Adria, go ahead. I saw your hand up first, and then we'll go to Bex, and then we'll wrap up our program for today.
Yeah, I totally agree with everybody on the same level. But as a former event planner, sometimes you have to have different prices of tickets so that the lower level ticket is more affordable for people. And so it's, you know, the people that are buying the VIP are essentially funding a portion of what the tickets below it are getting. And so I really never look at it as like that. I almost look at it as like, thank you for paying more so that people that can't afford to come to this can show up, because not every event, especially events in their first year, are able to provide scholarships to people that can't afford to come otherwise. So I think that is the only justification that I would offer for that, is that it is supplementing the lower, or subsidizing, I guess, essentially, the lower ticket bracket so that they can make pricing more affordable. But I do like the idea, and I say that at every conference that I come to, is like, you know, my DMs are always open. I am available to talk to anybody. I will answer any question that you have. And I just try to make myself really, really available for people that have questions you know, about doing this in the music industry and doing it for the first time, because anything is really scary the first time. And to go off of what, you know, Bex said, who, by the way, Bex is one of my favorite people that I've never met. And I say that every time that I get right. space with her. She's absolutely one of my favorite people that I've never met in real life. But we're going to fix that in December. So go team.
I love that. And what a great perspective. I wanted just to acknowledge that, because there's definitely, you know, when we talk about like the why. And so you gave a really purposeful perspective on that separation or the higher price ticket. So thank you for that.
Well, somebody who lost a lot of money one time trying to do it the other way.
Right.
I think I have so yes. of a unique perspective. But it's, you know, going along with it's hard thing. Everything is hard the first time. And I have to remember that every time, you know, we onboard a new artist or I talk to somebody who's in the music industry that's brand new at this, is it was hard for all of us in the beginning. And so, you know, when the quote unquote maxis get on their soapboxes, I'm like, okay, you need to step down. Because if you're going to start lodging, you know, assaults and complaints and things, you need to remember where you came from. Like my mom has always said, don't be above your raising. Remember where you came from. So that's just kind of, you know, what I try to remember as I onboard people is this shit is hard for everybody, for lack of a better term.
It is hard. It is hard. Bex, what would you like to add to that? And then I'll wrap us up.
Yeah, thanks. Adria, I love you, girl. And I'm excited to see you too. And you're one of my absolute favorite people too. And I know we're going to geek out super hard. And Sandy, I really want to meet you. I feel like we would all, yeah, have a lot of fun together and have some amazing conversation. And yeah, just to add about the VIP and all of the business perspective, you know, I agree with that. I remember I went to Bitcoin in Miami this year and there's the whale section. I was like, this is such bullshit, you know? And, but at the same time, from a business perspective, yeah, the subsidization of the lower ticket price and all that is real, right? And from a business perspective, but I also think that there's an opportunity to maybe just change the language. I think that the language really has to do a lot with the way it makes people feel. And you know, but that's a delicate balance because a lot of those VIP holders, it's all a lot of it's ego. So it's all about us trying to find a way to change the language in an inclusive way, but to keep fluffing ego so that they can buy the higher tickets to subsidize the lower cost. It's a hard balance from a business perspective, but it's the reality. So I think that I don't think it's impossible, but I definitely think that we can do it.
I love that. Change the language, because we could even just go into colors. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to just clarify real quick. There's a big difference. So for our listeners, what you are ladies are talking about for sure, you know, when you're putting on a venue like that, that's different. But when you've got all this big money who's put together this conference, who's already brought it together, and then, and the thing is, it was kind of silly because they paid for all this, everything was here, and then like we wait in line and then they got to go in first and then we're all in the same place anyway. It wasn't like, it was just kind of silly that, you know, they just did that is just all I'm saying. But no, I know what you're saying. Like if you're a speaker and you have to get to the venue or you're somebody who needs to, yeah, you do need special consideration for the people who are organizing these events, who are the stars or who are the speakers. They definitely need to be looked after. I'm also a retired event planner. I've done weddings and conferences. So I feel you. And yes, for the music stuff, for sure, get that VIP box with the balloons and the extra stuff so that the other people down there and the masses can buy their $15 ticket and hear that superstar sing. No, I don't have a problem with that system. I was just specifically talking about the blockchain conferences and that type of VIP. But otherwise, I don't have a problem with the other stuff. And I wish you ladies the best, because I want to come to your venues. What you're doing for artists is great. This repeated royalty. And you know what? My work is selling for 10 times what it was on the primary. On the Tezos blockchain, my collectors are turning around and selling the work that I did for 10 times the value. So the actual artists, the musicians, and this is the first time this is happening. I get it as a collector and as an artist. And thank you, honey. You know how to put on a good show, honey. Please, I hope you will do more of these, and we will continue to discuss these important things that are shaping Web3 so we can keep each other informed and keep each other together and be strong and make a difference.
Oh, so beautiful. I love that. And I'll kind of close this out here. You ladies are just incredibly inspiring, motivating, and changing the world, you know, one conversation at a time. And it's just such an honor to be in this Web3 space with each of you. I can't even tell you. And, you know, in regards to that, maybe those uphill battles and the challenges that we might be facing, the more we stick together. Oh my gosh, I just started thinking of this nursery rhyme song that I play for my grandson, and I almost broke out into song. I'm not going to do it. But I just totally went there in my head.
So the more we get together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I have it in my head too.
Because my grandson, who's almost 5 months old, it's like almost, you know, like we put on Miss Rachel but anyway, so here we go. You know, I may not, the struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, like that's what we're doing, ladies. Sometimes might knock me down, but I'm not breaking. And that was another portion of the lyrics from the song today. The climb, we are all here for the climb. We are here for that. I love that. That super serving, creating a space and a culture of trust and kindness. And finding ways to continue to be transparent, purposeful boundaries, to remain vulnerable, that servant leadership. Thank you, ladies, so much for your servant leadership today, your voices, and all that you bring to Web3 and beyond. Thank you so much, ladies. Everybody have an amazing Tuesday. Thank you for tuning in to Honey Radio, and we will see you next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Women of Web 3, hosted by Honey Radio, recorded on Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, huge sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. They can't even say they're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund them. Pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Terra Spaces.